Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
I'm Rob Stoltz with MatrixCare, and thanks for joining us. We're going to start off by talking about how to acquire a clear understanding of the TPE probe, and then we're going to explore potential scenarios and challenges that can arise during the TPE process and understand the unique role of Inovalon's revenue cycle management tool as it relates to TPE. And then we're going to discover proactive measures to protect your organization's financial health. So we're looking forward to getting in that. To present our speakers today, we're going to have Shelley Bass, who's the Clinical Informatics Coordinator at Faith Hospital, Travis Favre, a Solutions Architect at Inovalon, John Larscheid, a Solutions Engineer Advisor, Rachel Feedback, Senior Product Manager at MatrixCare, and I will help by emceeing things here as the Director of Senior Business Development. So with further ado, I'm going to bring on Rachel. She'll start walking us through our first agenda item. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me here today. I get to start with building the foundation, specifically in having a clear understanding of what Targeted Probe and Educate, or TPE, is. In short, it's a medical review. It's a medical review process, and it is a CMS compliance program used by MACs to help providers reduce claim denials through one-on-one education. For those of you that like history, the TPE review process was put in place in October of 2017 to achieve the goal of improvements with denial and appeals. And it was put on hold in March 2020 when the public health emergency began. Then TPE was then sort of reestablished in September of 2021. I often talk to providers who have been in business for decades and have yet to encounter or have an encounter rather with TPE review process. And if we exclude the time that TPE was put on hold, it's only been in place for about 5.5 years. So many of you might have joined today because you're new to the process and want to understand more, or perhaps you're well involved and have great understanding of TPE review, but you really want a deeper understanding, including improvements to your current established process. So let's look at it in three pillars here, starting with targeted or target. This is errors or mistakes. They're identified through data in comparison of providers or peers. And I'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment when we talk about the flow. Probe is the examination of 20 to 40 claims. The claim size is meant to be large enough to really reflect the behavior without intending to be burdensome. And then it is designed to help providers reduce claim denials and appeals through the one-on-one individualized education. Education is based on the results of the review. This is a flow chart of TPE, and I found this on CMS.gov. And this flow chart looks simple on the surface. But for today's conversation, I really wanted to take our eyes off of this and share another view of how TPE works. This view paints a little different picture and illustrates the rounds of TPE. This to me looks more complex or more like a bowl of spaghetti. I found this view in the original transmittal posted in 2017. Each MAC studies the claim data that's submitted from each of the providers to determine the providers who have that high potential for claim error rates or unusual billing pattern. In addition, the MACs are identifying trends for services that impose that sort of high financial risk to Medicare. And they also target the newer providers as well. If you've had denials from ADRs in the past and it's higher than normal, then you're a higher risk of being selected for the TPE program. MACs use essentially any data that's available to them, such as reports that CMS or other government agencies and contractors produce, such as the PEPA report, for example. Essentially, they're comparing on state, national, and even jurisdiction levels. So you can be triggered for a TPE based off of those. And then what happens is you get a letter with an explanation of the process. That's typically the provider was targeted, and that's the targeted part. Then you have 20 to 40 claims that are probed using the additional documentation request or ADRs. Then you have 30 days to review the charts and provide a response, and that denial percentage percentage is then calculated. And if you're below the max acceptable percentage or compliant, TPE is discontinued for at least 12 months unless they see significant changes. And if not compliant, that's when you progress into the next round that you see here in the flow. After education occurs, then you have 45 calendar days to implement improvements, and then that process starts again. If you fail three rounds, you could be referred to the OIG or CMS. You could even be facing a UPIC or a SMRC audit. So it's really important that you have a good process here. So as we step back and look at the flow, obviously the reviewer didn't see the patient, which means through this process, you have to paint the picture for your reviewer. While this is driven by the clinical staff, rev cycle, intake, collections, and beyond, you really have to have this whole team approach. And with that in mind, Rob, I cannot wait to hear more about Shelly's team and how they handle TPEs.
I think with that, what we'll do, Rachel, is we'll bring Shelly on in. And Shelly, we can see that Shelly's with Faith Hospice, has a lot of experience in this industry, and she's going to be able to, I think, share some valuable experience with us on what Rachel just started us off on. So what we'll notice is that Rachel shared two really different components, I think, that those two views of what TPE is were drastically different. One looked fairly simple. The other looked a little bit complex. Shelly, would love to get your impression of, hey, what does that really look like to go through? I know your organization experience with this. And so maybe we just start off by having you share some thoughts on what that experience like, more like the first clean diagram or maybe that second diagram that Rachel shared with us.
Thanks, Rob. I would have to say that our experience is definitely more like the second slide that she shared. We were started in this process last summer. They requested 25 chart. What we learned through that first auditing section is that they really don't like it when nurses are reporting that patients are comfortable or doing well. That seems to be a trigger for them, for hospice, that we need to focus our nursing charting towards the declines in all areas. It's just been a lot of work pulling the chart and getting all the stuff ready. We are in the midst of round two right now and kind of waiting to see if we're going to pass or if we're going to end up in round three. But in the meantime, you're getting audited for round two, but you're appealing round one. And so it's even more convoluted, I think, than the slide showed.
Clear as you're going through it, which stage you're in and where you go, or are you having to do some guessing along that path?
Well, we're pretty clear that we are in the active auditing piece of round two, and they did deny a couple of our charts that would put us just over the percentage of being allowed to pass. So then we have submitted some extra documentation, but in the meantime, we're also appealing some charts that were denied in round one. And I think the thing that's been interesting for us also is that while they're definitely looking at our nursing documentation, and we have our physicians that have reviewed our charts, written letters, are clearly certifying that these patients are hospice appropriate, which is legally what's required.
Right. And Rachel talked about all of the people. I mean, you can certainly see that she read in the definition that the intent was for the amount to be unobtrusive. That doesn't necessarily sound like the case, but I was wondering, can you elaborate a little bit on team's effort, like how much effort on your team's part and who all plays a role in it?
It's huge. And like I said, we had 25 charts targeted. So that's on the lower end of their range. You know, I can't imagine if we had to pull 40. Our administrative assistants that work in the office have had to print a lot of documents. You know, they have to go through the chart and print all disciplines visit notes, all of the communication notes, all of the IDG notes, all of the certs. You know, if they've been on service for any period of time, that could be lots and lots of documents. Then our quality team is reviewing and writing a summary letter for each case to kind of summarize that. Our quality manager reviews each and every chart and puts it all in the correct order because they have a specific way that they want the documents received. Our billing team helps us with submission and uploading and monitors the site to see if we've gotten approved or denied. Our executive director and medical director have both been involved. That's just getting ready to submit the stuff. Then after that, you know, we've had our entire clinical management team has had to be involved with education, and all the staff have had to come in and receive the education. So it's really changed the way they're focusing on their documentation. And now we have our QA team auditing all of everyone's clinical notes. So that is a huge process.
Yeah, that's a lot. You made a comment there I just want to follow up on. In some states and different surveyors, just on the Medicare survey side and so forth, will utilize the system. It sounds like there's nobody doing views in the system, that everything you're doing is how to be paper review. Is that accurate?
Well, we have to upload it, but there's not a good way to download the pieces of the chart and put them in the order that they want it. So you really have to, I suppose you could scan them to your desktop and then try and organize them, but it ends up being you have to print it all out.
Yeah, they're using a systematic, on their side, they're using a systematic approach. You mentioned the education phase a little bit. Were there resources that you leaned on throughout that process?
For sure. Of course, the rules and regs, from CMS, we are CHAP certified. So we've gone through the CHAP guidelines. NGS has a lot of great educational resources on their site. So they gave us a list when we entered the TPE, and we've relied heavily on the pieces that involve nursing documentation, because that's the area where our deficiency was found. We've used our TPE educator. We've gone back and forth with her after her presentation to ask her questions. We've spoken to our reviewer at NGS, and we've also talked to Katie Weary from NOC, and we talked to Carolyn Dean from Matrix Care, and also talked to Katie Kirsten. So we've gotten a lot of help.
Well, that certainly doesn't sound like the unobtrusive part. And look, I think that there's so much to go through, and those phases seem challenging, but thank you for sharing the experience of your team. I guess if I were to ask you one last thing, I could, what's kind of your takeaway, your one aha moment, or your key takeaway that you might want to share with other people who may be listening in?
I think a big thing would be, don't just take what they say at face value. If you think that something that you're hearing is incorrect, take it to them. If you think you know something, or if you can find documentation or get assistance from like one of the resources that I talked about, they are open to having a conversation. They're receptive. I can't say that that's going to change the outcome of your audit, but they are receptive to talk to you about those things and have a conversation. In fact, at one point, one of our NGS reviewers was not aware about something, and we were able to educate her.
Thank you for sharing kind of the real life experience of your organization as you guys have gone through it, and sharing that perspective with the rest of this group. So thank you very much, Shelley. And I think at this point, it makes sense to transition over to John and just sort of talk about some of the tools that might be out there as it relates to revenue cycle management. So John, I'll let you kind of take it away.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Rob. What a great transition from, actually being audited to what are some of the tools and some of the reasons for auditing. So one of the things that I'm going to talk about, first of all, is understanding the unique role of Inovalon's revenue cycle management tools. The first thing I want to kind of dip into is some of those audits that we spoke of. We learned of one audit. Shelley is right in the middle of one. But what are all the other ones out there, and why do you get audited? So the risk categories for home health, this is a 23 survey, and the number of occurrences that happened with the denial descriptions. Looking through some of those for home health, you see face-to-face, no plan of care certification, documentation submitted was insufficient, auto-deny, request records not submitted timely, and homebound requirements not met. So when you start thinking about, the potential scenarios that bring those all into purview and what hits those auditors' desks, here's some of them at a very high level. What would that look like if it was dispersed across the state? So round one, home health review decisions, is it going to be approved, a partial or a full denial? So skilled nursing, not medically necessary. So if you're not really looking at that medical necessity on those claims inbound, initial certification invalid, FTF missing or incomplete and untimely, therapy visits not medically necessary, and documentation does not support homebound. So those are some of those decision criteria, state to state, whether they're approved or not. Trending analytic from a CMS standpoint is one thing that they're getting into. As we progress into this next future of AI and machine learning, you're going to see, and most likely see, that audits pop up much easier for them, where before it was they pull 20 or so claims and they start reviewing them. Nowadays, they're probably just going to be sent to desks. So hopefully we can get you guys visibility into how the RCM applications within Inovalon will help you out. I wanted to give you a little bit of visibility into that home health side, or the hospice side also, giving you the percentages. NOEs you see here is a big one. Geez, when they went down to that 5-day for NOA NOEs, that really started hitting a lot of us. Certification missing, and then face-to-face encounters. Let's talk a little bit about the revenue cycle now. So I've gained most of my career inside side of the revenue cycle management. So understanding the unique role of Inovalon's revenue cycle management tool sets, we really start looking at the administrative power reduction. The 70% gains in workflow efficiency eliminate 100% administrative hours to navigate Medicare FIS DDE. That does put it into a UI, so you do gain 100% hours into a nice user interface. And understanding when you get into FIS, you're a single entity. It would be me looking at my MPI under my. When you get into more of a user interface, you're looking at trending. I can see across the continuum of all of the MPIs. I could even work in a central billing office if I needed to. The second thing to look at is the speed to revenue. Expedite Medicare claims processing, making sure that you are really getting your claim downstream and getting it paid the first time. You're not retouching it. You're eliminating the middleman and processing your Medicare claims faster. And lastly, the system for audits and appeals. There's one thing that I'll touch on here. When you bring one of our systems online, we do a 12-month look. So let's just say that John gave his credentials for DDE FIS. The system that we're going to review first is going to bring back 12 months of history. So if there were any audits missed, any ADRs missed, or any open revenue at all, it's going to show you that and you'll be able to act upon it. Inovalon is a health information handler to CMS. We can connect you directly with those RAC auditors and get that all of the information needed from them up to them in a timely manner without having to print it out, drop it to paper, and send it, things that we're requesting. We call this product the Claims Management Medicare Pro. You guys in the industry may have heard about it as Ease Medicare back in the day, and I think it even had a name before that. It started with us in 2011, and it's gone through a couple name changes. But this gives you visibility into monitor measure claims from a single easy to use dashboard. Let's just say you have 6 or 7 folks with credentials that are going into DDE FIS every day and reviewing all of the claims and making sure they're getting out, making sure that you're fixing them and so on. This gives you a full picture of all of the MPIs under your facility. So you have immediate visibility to every single claim in the system broken down by facility. So you have the health of all of your Medicare claims per facility within one single shot. This is also gives you nice trending, gives you drill down capability so you could see exactly what's going on with claims eligibility and payment issues. It also gives you visibility and the flexibility for revenue collections and projections, viewing a snapshot of payments, receiving incoming payments, and so on. The thing that you're going to love about it is audits and appeals. Because we are an HIH handler and it is inside of this application, it's very easy for you to see exactly what's needed, put all of the documentation into perspective. And I heard Shelley say it's really hard to make sure that everything's in line with what they're asking for. And this is where you can stack those in, bring a clinician in, give them access to it, and allow them to upload exactly what's needed in that top-down order. It's a big difference when you go into a user interface that manages DDE FIS. You're no longer in looking for those veteran DDE users. You know, where's page 1711 on this? We don't have, you know. So this really takes the entire FIS system and puts it into a snapshot view. So if you had a claim correction that needed to happen, it would show up in a UB. You'll see this lock kind of in the middle of the screen off to the right a little bit. And that lock gives you a chance to unlock it and do adjustments if possible. You can actually see all claims that are attached to it. So if there's 4 or 5 claims, you have the NOE, the NOE, you have the NOTR, whatever you have associated with this patient will show up so you can flip through those claims nice and easy. And it is in a UB format that gives you visibility to the corrections that are needed. So it does give you a little bit of a learning algorithm, a lot like DDE does, but it's in more of a user interface. So it's easy to edit, easy to resubmit your claims. Now you may think, well, geez, if you're dropping this into a UB, you must be sending it then to the Mac, and that would take time. This actually doesn't. It uses your credentials. So once you're done fixing the UB, you just submit it, and it turns it back into a DDE stream, uses your credential logs in, and changes the claim within the FIS system. So you can really hire on somebody that does not know DDE FIS. They can make these corrections. They can make these audit updates and so on quite easily. We talked a lot about being an HIH, electronic submission of medical documentation, so the ESMD side of it. So we got our license a while back when we merged with Ivins, and we became the largest ESMD solution around, and we added it onto this application for CMMP. You're able to track, monitor, and manage documentations for audits and appeals. Remember what I said, when we implement you the first time, we're going to do a 12-month look back at any audit audits and appeals that are out there that you may have missed or may still be open for you to act. It'll also give you visibility to trending to see if this is happening more than is needed. Maybe do an in-service in-house to tell you why it's trending and what's going on. You'll be able to assemble and upload all of your documents and submit those through our HIPAA-compliant electronic portal. Set up automatic alerts, notifications of ADR, RAC audits, and appeal submissions. You'll also receive gap alerts for any additional documentation attachments needed for fulfillment of those ADRs. Inside of here, there is a reporting and analytics. This gives you improved cash flow and productivity with actionable intelligence to reduce those accounts receivable. Visibility into financial health of Medicare claims, pairing the claims, giving you trending analytics, tracking and trend rejections, and understanding user productivity and utilization. So when you start thinking about a tool that's needed and used, you know, what's going on in the industry? You know, what is the hype? A lot of people say our digital footprint across the nation is in the high 70s, where most home health, hospice, skilled nursing, anything that you could think of from, you know, an institutional provider side that needs to get into DDE, this really, really helps them out. And it gives you clear visibility into what's not happening correctly. So keeping the lights on is one of the things that we want everybody to do, but also not getting a TPE is something that we want to be able to help with, help you understand what's going on and see if there's any trends or projections that's giving you visibility to CMS that you need a little help. Hopefully this was a little educational, Rob. It's just one of the tools and some of the things that I found through TPE. Nice way to
Yeah, John, thanks. I mean, I think that's a set of tools, right? That once you get into this scenario, how can we make it easier to handle? Yeah, I think what we'll do next is move over to Travis and think with the thought process being, hey, those are great tools once I'm in it. Is there any way to be proactive about this? Maybe have Travis join us and talk about that a little bit as well. Travis?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Rob. So one of the things that we think about a lot, you know, when we think about the problem is the beginning. John talked about some of the solutions that we're going to use to try to resolve as quickly and easily as possible. But how do we measure? How do we stay on top of it? How do we know where it's coming from so we can manage the net cause of it and not have to redo down the line? What I want to dig into is some of the data that we're coming along with these applications. So I think a good place to start is always your top 10 payer denials. And when we look at this, what we're thinking of is with our applications, all of your claims, all your remittance, that DDE follow-up, all of that, we are aggregating that into one place for you, so you don't have to do this on your own. Top 10 denials is something that constantly changes. Payers change the rules, especially when we talk about CMS. There, you know, we have changes in what we bill out of the system, and we're going to have growing pains due to some of those. We want to stay on top of that so that we don't ever have to be in this situation in the first place. But each of these do drill down. So if we were to click into any one of our top 10 payer denials here, we can drill into those denials to get more explanation on where they're coming from, what is causing them, and how we can get out in front of them. Performance is something that, while there's a lot of money type stuff on here that I'm sure some folks will care about, it's a little out of scope for us now. What I want people to focus in on with that performance is that denials on the left-hand side, being able to track your denied dollars and your denied claims. And most importantly, looking at that 6 month, you know, I had mentioned that trending. Staying on top of it as rules change, as we're dealing with updates, new codes, whatnot. We're constantly looking and evaluating, is this something that's improving? Is it something that's getting worse? Do we have trends in the wrong direction? And again, drilling down into the root cause of those. Something that I think we could really dig into is that payer scorecard. So a lot of this, of course, we're going to be talking about Medicare, but across the board, being able to see, you know, as we resolve some of these Medicare-related challenges, what issues are we having with certain payers? Are we having trends with a particular payer that dramatically outscale the rest of them? We want to stay on top of every single one of our payers, of course. So we can take a look at rules for every single payer that's being billed out and create a snapshot of how you're performing against each one. Again, being able to drill down specifically into denial reasons codes, being able to dig into particular billers that might be new or needing training, whatnot, and being able to coach them up, seeing particular things that are firing off that aren't supposed to be there. Maybe you have old rules in the system that are applying that we need to remove. So really, a lot of this data is going to be focused on as we are billing out, how are we performing and are we going in the right direction? I had mentioned the denials by biller. So looking at how are we doing all the way at the top. What we want to provide visibility to is not just let's stay on top of denials, stay on top of our RTPs and whatnot, but where are they coming from? Is this an issue from maybe, again, a newer biller that we need to train up? Is this a coding issue? Are we seeing things that maybe we could fix before they ever even become claims, and being able to drill all the way down into the details of what is being billed out on a person by person level to give a lot of clarity, not just to what is happening, but what is the root cause? Where is it coming from? I think the reporting tool doesn't necessarily get a lot of justice done by a slide deck, but any one of these shapes, any colors on here, you can click into any one of them to go all the way down to the bottom into individual codes build, individual claims build, whatnot. Denials dashboard. So second to last here, again, providing a lot of visibility into denials, where they're coming from on a payer perspective, where they're coming from on a coding perspective, and the number of dollars and instances that are tied to that. So when we think about root cause, this is usually the report people tell me that they've been asked to run on their end, especially if we're talking about reporting on this type of stuff out of DDE. It's incredibly time consuming. I know for a lot of folks, they're tabulating this on their own. I've heard folks that have entire FTEs, groups of FTEs, dedicated just to pulling data out of that system. So with the tools that John showed and us being able to scrape on a daily basis, we're able to take a look more in detail with denials and leading up to our claim issues by type and department. So this takes two forms, your commercial, which you see a little bit of here, what is occurring as we're billing these out, but also, I think more importantly, the Medicare RTPs. So being able to drill down into reason code specifics, what is occurring that is causing RTPs, where are they coming from, how many are we seeing, and ultimately with that top line, are we trending in the right direction? I think this particular instance is a great view on, as we deal with TPE, we don't want to do it again. Let's make sure we're trending in the right direction. If we're going through this, let's trend towards not having to re-review, resubmit, lose our AR days, and God forbid, end up in TPE.
Travis, thank you. Helpful information, a lot of data there, and appreciate you sharing with that. Obviously, the screens that we're seeing are just the surface of it. There's more behind there. Kelly, can you talk about your TPE in home care, or was it an inpatient hospital?
We have both hospice and hospice out in the community, so we are not a home care company.
So it wasn't necessarily just an inpatient hospice, though. It's your community-based hospice as well as your
correct. Inpatient. In fact, they were mostly targeting patients in assisted living facilities, which we have a lot of around here.
That wraps up our content. And I just wanted to thank everybody, Shelley, Travis, John, Rachel, for, you know, giving us your time today to help us understand this. Hope it was beneficial for you. And we hope to see you soon. And have a great afternoon.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.